Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the very first episode of Tax Crime Junkies. Today we are diving deep into the case that has CPAs around the country chatting it up by the water cooler, all about Ernst & Young, who are not only busted for cheating on their ethics exams, but they're also facing a pricey penalty of a $100 million fine. Really, what happens when a company that checks ethical tax and financial standards falls short of its own ethical standards? The Ernst & Young cheating scandal and the $100 million fine took the financial world by storm in June of 2022. The company's employees had been cheating for years during professional exams, and this resulted in the highest ever penalty from the SEC to an audit firm. So this case makes one curious. Is there a reason a firm that hires the best of the best got caught up in a years-long cheating practice? Why did the firm try to cover up the scandal, and how did it get caught? So join us for our first episode and enjoy the back and forth dialogue as Tom and I unpack all that's happened in this very unethical crime. But before we dive in, I want to give a friendly introduction. First and foremost, I'm Dominique Molina, a CPA, primarily a tax strategist, but I also work with small business owners looking to reduce their taxes through legal deductions, tax credits, and loopholes. Emphasis on the word legal. I'm a speaker at conferences and a teacher for other tax accountants and attorneys. And I'm a huge fan of Schadenfreude. The only thing I like more than Schadenfreude is my lovely co-host, Tom Gorzinski. Tom, say hello to my mom. I'm sure she's at least listening.
Hey, everyone. I want to thank you all for tuning in today. We really hope not only to entertain you, but to provide some education also along the way. This first episode is an introduction, but our goal is to help people get an understanding of the tax world, all while making sure you avoid those golden handcuffs and sky-high fines like we're going to see in this case. Let me just tell you a little bit about myself first, though. I'm an EA, that's an enrolled agent. I specialize in tax issues, audits, appeals, collection. Why are we enrolled agents? Because we have a special license from the U.S. Department of Treasury empowering me to represent taxpayers before the IRS. Now, I also represent taxpayers in tax court because I'm a United States tax court practitioner. I call myself a semi-attorney because I'm not actually an attorney. I only practice in tax court because I passed this horrific exam, one in which you cannot cheat on, Ernst & Young. So with my role, I can directly assist small business owners who need to deal directly with the IRS. I'm a nationally recognized tax instructor. I do have an amateur doctorate in murder avoidance, but because amateur is in the name, I'm not going to tell you the details. I am excited to be here, though, with Dominique and provide value to everybody who's listening today.
Great introduction, Tom. I'm going to need your amateur doctorate in murder avoidance. You're going to have to give me those tips. So we are so pleased to welcome you to Tax Crime Junkies, the podcast where each week we delve into the fascinating world of tax fraud and white collar crime. And we understand that tax laws can be complex and difficult to navigate, but our goal here for this show is to make it accessible to all listeners. So we're also going to be speaking with experts in the field, connecting with other CPAs and enrolled agents, accountants to get their insights and perspectives. And we want to provide a complete picture of what tax fraud looks like and what can be done to prevent it. So we hope you'll join us on this journey as we explore the fascinating and sometimes disturbing world of tax crime junkies.
Absolutely. Whether you're a small business owner, an aspiring accountant, a current accountant, or someone who just loves true crime, what we're going to do is break down how tax fraud works in a way that's easy to understand. We'll talk about high-profile cases, lesser-known scams. We'll explore the methods criminals use to evade tax and the efforts of law enforcement to bring them to justice.
You know, Tom, the IRS criminal investigators don't get enough credit, in my opinion. While they often work with teams from the FBI and other law enforcement agencies, it's often the tax agents who find the evidence and piece together the intricacies of the financial crimes.
That's right, Dominique. In fact, that's the story for Al Capone, you know, the ruthless and violent gangster. What brought him down? It wasn't the murders. It wasn't bootlegging, prostitution, mob ties. It was our good old friend, tax evasion. In the early 1920s, the Bureau of Investigation, which later became the FBI, began investigating Capone for tax evasion. They thought it would be easier to prosecute him for that than all of those other illegal activities. So they got him for not paying tax on that illegal income.
That's right. The IRS doesn't care how you make the money, Tom. They just want their fair share. And so this month in February is actually the anniversary of the St. Valentine's Day massacre, where Al Capone committed the crime of murder. And also towards the end of February is the anniversary of his conviction for tax evasion. So I'm excited to be launching this podcast during such a historical month.
Well, thank you, Dominique, for joining me in this program. Thank you, everyone, for being here. And if you enjoy the show, subscribe at your earliest convenience so you won't miss all of our future episodes. Dom, you ready to dive in?
Yes, I am. So cheating isn't exactly a new concept when it comes to professional exams, but it can be shocking when one of the big four is involved. And this is the case that's spreading like wildfire in the CPA community and in the financial community as a whole. It involves Ernst & Young's failures to act with the integrity required of a public company auditor. And what happened is, over multiple years, a significant number of EY audit professionals cheated on the ethics component of the Certified Public Accountant exam, as well as on a variety of other examinations required to maintain their CPA licenses. Now, as this was ongoing, Ernst & Young withheld this misconduct from SEC staff that were conducting an investigation of potential cheating at the firm. So not only that, but E&Y audit professionals repeated cheating on exams and the firm's misrepresentations to the SEC. Those crimes violated ethics and integrity standards, and that all leads to discrediting the accounting profession. And it's such a paradox if you think about it, because as Gerber Gerwal said, who's the director of SEC's enforcement division, he said, it's simply outrageous that the very professionals responsible for catching cheating by clients cheated on ethics exams of all things. It's a huge slap in the face to the field. It breaks trust on an even higher level when it comes to the public perception of us as professionals in the tax industry and accountants.
I couldn't agree more, Dominique. Interestingly, of the top four, I really can't believe this, only Deloitte is free of cheating scandals. It was in fact KPMG's cheating scandal that led to the E&Y $100 million cheating scandal. It all started after the SEC issued an order on misconduct during internal exams at KPMG. The SEC fined KPMG $50 million for this. Like many accounting firms, E&Y sent a message to all personnel after this news broke out. The EY U.S. chair and managing partner released a statement 2 days later warning the company's U.S. employees not to share answers on internal and external exams. The message? Employees must act with integrity and honesty. This is such a big deal in our world because keep in mind, to become licensed as a CPA, applicants in most states have to pass ethics examinations. There's no way around it. It's for good reason too. These exams are designed to keep accountants who do not sufficiently understand their ethical responsibilities as a CPA from entering and playing the essential role that CPAs play in serving the public interest. State accountancy boards require CPAs to complete continuing professional education courses to ensure they remain knowledgeable about their ethical obligations and current accounting standards. CPAs must pass examinations designed to test their understanding of these concepts in order to get credit for these courses and keep their licenses. It's an important aspect of our business, and for folks to undermine it like this is frankly disheartening.
I know, Tom, every 6 years for me, I have to take an ethics course for my continuing education requirements as a CPA. And maybe I should be ashamed to admit this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I do learn something new every time.
I learn something new every time as well. I not only take ethics, I teach ethics to other EAs. And honestly, I'm kind of shocked. Only every 6 years, EAs have to take a 2CE ethics class every year. So Dom, let's get into the details. How exactly were they cheating?
Well, when looking over the court case, it states, over multiple years, a significant number of Ernst & Young audit professionals cheated on these exams by using answer keys and sharing them with their colleagues. So looking at years 2017 to 2021, there were 49 EY audit professionals that sent and or received answer keys to CPA ethics exams. So Tom, they must have checked their email. In addition, hundreds of other audit professionals cheated on CPE courses, including those addressing CPA's ethical obligations. Oh, the irony. And there were a significant number of Ernst & Young professionals who did not cheat themselves, but they knew their colleagues were cheating and facilitating cheating. And they also knew that that violated the firm's code of conduct by failing to report what was going on. So it was a widespread operation and a lot of hands were involved, which makes you think, how many other firms have been doing this in the past or are still currently doing this?
I mean, looking at this case, this has been going on for over a decade. It says the sharing of answer keys is not the first time in recent years that a large number of Ernst & Young audit professionals cheated on exams. From 2012 to 2015, over 200 Ernst & Young audit professionals across the country exploited a software flaw in their CPE testing platform to pass exams while only answering a low percentage of questions correctly. Following EY's discovery of that earlier cheating scheme, the firm took disciplinary actions and repeatedly warned its audit professionals not to cheat on exams. And I can't believe this, but they still kept cheating.
I mean, were the tests that hard? What was the issue, Tom? Why do you think they felt the need to cheat?
Well, people are flawed. People are lazy. They'll do anything and everything to get ahead in their careers, especially when they're under huge amounts of pressure to do more work, to increase their billing. The majority of people also just don't like taking tests. So once you're getting that pressure to succeed, to move forward, to achieve, to get business for the firm, that test, that continuing education is an inconvenience. And we've honestly become resistant in this world to anything that puts us outside of our comfort zone. Now, Dominique, that doesn't apply to you and I. We started a podcast. That's uncomfortable.
Yeah, we did, Tom. I'm proud of us. So let's keep on going with this case and talk about what else transpired. Just like many of its audit professionals failed to report their colleagues cheating, as they were required to do, EY withheld this misconduct from the SEC while they were investigating cheating at the firm. So in June of 2019, the SEC's Division of Enforcement sent Ernst & Young a formal request for information about the complaints that the firm had gotten about cheating on training exams. Now, this is just super ironic, but it just so happened that the same day that Ernst & Young received this request, they also got a tip that an audit professional had shared an answer key to a CPA ethics exam. Here's the thing. They didn't disclose this information to the SEC, obviously, but to the contrary, its submission indicated that the firm didn't have any current issues with cheating. So the cheating's going on, they're aware of it, and all the while they're telling the SEC, nothing to see here. So in light of the tip that it got, Ernst & Young's June 20th submission was materially misleading, but they never corrected its submission, even after the firm began an internal investigation. And as a result of that, they confirmed there had been cheating. And the matter was discussed among senior lawyers at the firm and with members of the firm's senior management. EY decided they still weren't going to correct their misleading submission. And so the lies grew bigger and the cover-up was not going the way they presumed that it would. And you know what they say about lying. When somebody lies, they have to tell more lies to cover up the first lie. So this is the spiral of lies, or the spiral downward, the lie spiral. When you tell a lie, Tom, it creates a kind of cognitive dissonance where your actions don't match up with your values or your beliefs. And that triggers guilt or anxiety. And then you want to cover that up, so you tell more lies. You don't want that first lie exposed, and so you're trying to avoid getting caught or facing consequences of what's happening. And so it gets difficult. The more lies you tell, harder to keep track of what's been said and to whom, and that makes it harder to maintain consistency and credibility, to keep everything straight. And of course, all of that just leads to eventually being exposed. So there's that spiral where the more lies that are told, difficult to stay on top of that and stop lying, and it the more likely it is that the truth will eventually be revealed. So ultimately, that all leads to more severe consequences.
Can you imagine having to cover up lies for hundreds of your colleagues in a firm like Ernst & Young? Of course, they're eventually going to get caught. But here's the issue. When you lie, you lose trust. When you're a CPA or any other tax or financial professional, you know what the most core value really is? It's integrity. Because keep in mind, this is what the case says. Investors rely on independent audit firms to serve critical gatekeeping roles with respect to financial reporting. This gatekeeping role depends on the integrity not only of the independent audit firm's audit personnel, but its management and its attorneys. Therefore, the federal securities laws provide remedies for those accountants, audit firms, and attorneys found to be lacking in integrity. Moreover, Ernst & Young is required by PCAOB rules and the AICPA, that's the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, Code of Professional Conduct, to act with integrity in connection with all the professional services provided to clients. PCAOB quality control standards require E&Y to have a system of quality control that provides reasonable assurance that its audit personnel perform all professional responsibilities with integrity. Subject to maintaining client confidence, CPAs are required to be honest and candid, and the AICPA prohibits members from committing acts discreditable to the profession. The case summary ends with a very direct statement. Ernst & Young violated all of these structures.
Well, I did want to give one piece of credit to Ernst & Young, because back in December of 2014, an internal Ernst & Young whistleblower reported a flaw in the firm's software. And they figured out that professionals could pass CPE exams without the required number of correct responses. And so this vulnerability in the software allowed whoever was taking the exam to get a passing score, even if they only answered one question correctly. I guess it was some sort of glitch in the system. The firm's investigation of this matter determined that from 2012 through 2015, there were over 200 EY audit professionals in multiple offices that all exploited this flaw to pass their CPE exams. And so from there, Ernst & Young took a variety of disciplinary actions against those who were engaged in the misconduct. They also put in place to prevent further cheating. They added prominent warnings to CPE exams, reminding that the test takers have to be taken independently, those tests, and that a failure to do so reflected a lack of integrity. So the firm repeatedly reminded its personnel that cheating on exams was not proper, that it violates EY's code of conduct, that, of course, requires professionals to act with integrity and requires those who become aware of the misconduct to report any deviations or violations to the firm. So they did throw out something, and a lot of it falls on the shoulders of those people that are willing to cheat and then cover up the cheat. I gotta say, I can only imagine the guts that it took the whistleblower to come forward. Can you imagine feeling like you can't report something nefarious to your boss or your boss's boss? What do you do? It's like that movie, The Firm.
Exactly, because we even see that despite the warnings, certain audit personnel were continuing to cheat. 2016, Ernst & Young learned that professionals in its Denver office improperly shared answer keys. In response, the office's managing partner warned staff, these actions constitute a serious violation of the firm's code of conduct and underscored the importance of ethical behavior in connection with CPE. After the firm learned of two employees who had cheated on a CPA ethics exam in 2017, Ernst & Young issued a warning to its U.S. personnel. The recurring cheating persisted even though the firm sent out warnings. E&Y did not implement any additional controls to detect this misconduct during the period, which is how we got here, why E&Y is on the front page of the New York Post, and why they are facing a $100 million fine.
Yeah, let's talk about that real quick, because wow. What's that old childhood saying? Don't do the crime if you can't pay the fine.
I think it was actually don't do the crime if you can't do the time, but I think both apply here.
So let's pull up that New York Post article and talk about what they discovered. It says here that the feds found that 49 E&Y workers sent or received answer keys related to the ethics exam. And that was over a four-year period of time stretching between 2017 to 2021. And of course, hundreds of other audited employees cheated on their CPE courses. Tom, what were some of the comments that were made by Ernst & Young?
Well, the comments, frankly, Dominique, aren't very surprising. An EY spokesperson said the company acknowledged the findings of the SEC and would comply with its directives. Quote, we have repeatedly and consistently taken steps to reinforce our culture of compliance, ethics, and integrity in the past. We will continue to take extensive actions, including disciplinary steps, training, monitoring, and communications that will further strengthen our commitment in the future. You know, it's funny, once someone gets caught and exposed, that's when they want to start doing the right thing and take some action.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I'd do the same thing if I'm looking at a $100 million penalty, which is twice as large as the $50 million penalty that KPMG agreed to pay in 2019 to settle similar allegations that some of its former employees cheated on their exams, among other misdeeds. You know, maybe we should cover that case in another episode.
Well, it sounds like we might need three, Tom, because something similar happened at PwC Canada, too. The PCAOB fined PwC $750,000 because they found up to 1,200 employees cheated during internal exams on auditing, accounting, and professional independence. I'm glad that aside from paying the fine, Ernst & Young at least agreed to undertake extensive remedial measures to address the ethical concerns in the future. I do find it ironic, though, that they're talking about their culture of compliance, ethics, and integrity.
Right.
Clearly, I don't know where that culture was at the time. But, you know, here's the thing. It is damaging to our reputation as a whole. And in this business, there is no place for unethical and shady behavior. I mean, the fact that Ernst & Young hindered the investigation along the way, that makes a $100 million fine justifiable. That makes the $100 million fine justifiable, in my opinion. They were trying to cover it up, and it's no wonder they had close ties with the Houston Astros. You know, that team that cheated to win a World Series a few years back, they had the cameras and the garbage cans, or so they say. It was not more recent than that.
Yeah, another New York Post article was published about EY scrambling to scrub online evidence of its ties to a former Astros executive named Brandon Taubman. Now, Taubman was fired supposedly for a misogynistic post-game rant. Now, in the interview, Taubman said working at EY was, quote, a badge of honor, and he, quote, learned from the best and the brightest. Now, this scrubbing of the interview is, of course, not coincidental, because he subjected female executives to a bizarre sexist leadership seminar. Now, Dominique, the words I'm about to read were spoken in a serious manner, if you can believe it, even though reading them out loud comes off comical. But again, this was a serious quote from a leadership seminar. Quote, women's brains absorb information like pancakes soak up syrup, so it's hard for them to focus. Men's brains were likened to waffles because information collects in each little waffle square, allowing them better to focus. This is what a former EY staffer actually told the Huffington Post.
What? Hey, Ernst & Young, the 1950s called. They want their misogyny back. I mean, clearly there's some ethical changes and some cultural changes, I might add, that need to occur in the Ernst & Young firm. And so, man, I'm thinking $100 million now sounds cheap.
Well, they couldn't do it in the past, but when it hits their pocketbook, that's when it's going to happen, I bet.
Well, Tom, because of your experience, I want to ask you, what are some ways that accountants can avoid falling into a crime of this nature?
Well, I mean, besides simply don't cheat, I think the what they have to consider is valuing the fact that our professions have entrance exams and continuing education for a reason. Why do we have entrance exams? Because we want to make sure everybody has minimal professional competency. Why do we have continuing education? So that everybody is a learner throughout their career. All of this is to protect the client. So if you're willing to cheat at that safeguard that protects the public, in my opinion, you're pretty much willing to cheat in your professional career. We have to value the licenses and the education that we do, and we can't put it ahead of making the next dollar, billing the next hour. It is critical, and we need to spend the time focusing on that so we can be the best for our clients and maximize our professionalism, integrity, and knowledge.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that sentiment, Tom. I think this stretches into other areas. And as we get into future episodes on this podcast, that can extend to even who you choose to surround yourself with. As we saw in the EY case, you know, having coworkers around you cheating where you have awareness of that is actually a requirement for you to report, at least on the CPA side of the street. So our license requires us to notify someone of that. And so even deciding to work in an environment where improprieties are occurring makes you want to get out of that and not surround yourself with that. And we can even extend that to our clients and what clients we're choosing to work with as well. It just simply is not worth it. And as I said, we'll see in future episodes where be careful with the clients that you choose to work with in your firm, because those business owners and folks that are unsavory can take you down with them. And this culture and requirement really of integrity and professionalism, I think, does a good job at protecting not only our profession and the perception of our profession, but it helps protect us and keep us in line as well.
You know, Dominique, I think it's hard to be a whistleblower. It's scary to be a whistleblower. But, you know, and it's so easy just to say, well, everybody else is doing this. I'm going to continue to do this. But like you said, not only do you risk your firm, not only do you risk your own license, you're obligated to stand up, be heard, and call out what you see.
Yeah. I mean, I'll conclude with this. We're all human. We make mistakes, but mistakes can be avoidable when you're following a moral compass and you're letting integrity be at the core of your profession. Remember that lie spiral I was talking about earlier? At a certain point, the lies are only about the guilt and the shame that you feel. So break free, get out of that. It feels gross. Before you get in too deep, we're all capable of doing the right thing, and you're rewarded for doing so. Unfortunately, when you do the wrong thing, you're fined $100 million, at least in this case.
And in our future cases, maybe you end up in prison. Well, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Take what you learned today and use this truth that hit home to you in order to transform the way you do business. Dominique and I are super grateful you decided to join us today. Subscribe to the show. Share it with some friends who could use a Tax Crime Junkie podcast in their life. Help us spread the word and come back for some very interesting cases.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in to this first episode of Tax Crime Junkies. And remember, we uncover the stories of tax fraud and white-collar crime. We're not just exposing the criminals, but also the loopholes in the system. So we hope you'll join us again next week as we continue our mission to find the loopholes that went left and close them for good. So until next time, Remember, every crime has a trail that leads to the truth.
See you next time.